bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
I get a lot of books, and it is such a joy. It's one of my favorite things about doing this work. And I got one recently that I just devoured. It was so insightful and so incredibly helpful. I love a book that instantly inspires you to change your life. The book is called The Year of Less: How I Stopped Shopping, Gave Away My Belongings, and Discovered Life is Worth More Than Anything You Can Buy in a Store. It is by Kate Flanders, who joins us now. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Lisa.
Oh, it's so great to have you on the program. I love your book. I just thought it was absolutely fantastic and very, very inspiring. You know, you write in the introduction about how this idea was born, and you talk about it being 2 days before your 29th birthday, and you and your girlfriends went for a weekend in Whistler, and you were hiking around. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, well, I will say, even though it did come from that weekend, or sort of, I think the weekend really was just the first time I felt comfortable sort of putting the idea out there. I had been thinking about, well, realistically, just the fact that I wasn't happy with what I was doing with my money. So what I was spending it on, the fact that I wasn't really saving anything, and continued to see, or just seemed to be like living in this paycheck to paycheck cycle, but just spending a lot. And I didn't need to be. So I'd been thinking about that for a year at this point. And just every single month having this thought that like, there has to be another way to do this. And I actually knew from past experience in paying off quite a bit of debt that there was another way. I realized there had to be a different way of doing this. I knew that I wanted to be spending less and saving more, and also just be a little bit more conscious or aware of like what I was spending my money on. And so that hike in Whistler, I was out with friends and we're just chatting about normal stuff, like, what are you up to? What's next for you? And I just said this thing where I'm like, I'm thinking of doing this thing where I don't shop for a while, like 6 months or maybe a year. And my friends obviously had a ton of questions. but saying it out loud for the first time sort of made it feel like it could be possible.
Yeah, sometimes it's really nice when you can put it out there and it sort of helps you. You have it in your mind and you're able to formulate it better and then take action, which is what you did. You also talk in the introduction about having some pretty heavy debt, and I think a lot of people do. And I think sometimes we put it out of our minds, but when you stop and look at it, and you wrote in the book, I was maxed out with nearly $30,000 of consumer debt. To make things worse, I only had $100 left in my checking account and $100 left on one credit card. And that's pretty scary.
It was. I mean, at that time I was 25 years old. And like you said, it was consumer debt. So about $4,500 of that was a small student loan, but everything else was literally just swiping for a lifestyle that I couldn't afford. And so that included having maxed out credit cards. I at one point had a line of credit that I eventually just turned into a personal loan. And I used to think, like, I would make all these small actions and think, like, this is going to be the thing that moves me in the right direction, but then I would continue spending. And so then I ended up being maxed out, and it took me 2 years to pay it all off, but I got super aggressive with that one goal and did that in 2013.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, in the book, you have rules for the year-long shopping ban. You talk about what you're allowed to shop for: groceries and basic kitchen supplies, cosmetics and toiletries. I like this only when I run out. Oh my gosh, I don't even wear makeup most of the time, but I love skincare. So recently, I literally gave away 7 bags of like toiletries. I mean, it was insane. I was just like, you know what? I just need the ones that I use, and this is enough. Cleaning products, gifts for others, items on approved shopping lists. What I'm not allowed to shop for: takeout coffee, clothes, shoes, accessories, books, magazine, notebooks, household items, candles, decor, furniture, etc., and electronics. And then I like that you did give yourself a little bit of leeway in terms of an approved shopping list: one outfit for multiple weddings, one dress and a pair of shoes, a sweatshirt. I only owned one. It had a few too many holes. Workout pants. I was down to my last pair. Boots. I had nothing appropriate for fall or winter. Bed. Mine was 13 years old and desperately needed a replace. And then you wrote, I can also purchase anything that must be replaced, but the original item has to be tossed or donated. I think if we all lived that way, it would be so much better. I'm a total clothes horse and I love my neighborhood secondhand store. But it's funny, I parked the other day to go in and literally I thought of your book, Kate. And I'm like, you know what? I'm good. I don't need anything. And I actually went home and gave about 10 things away. Oh, you're like amazing. My guru.
That's amazing. And actually,
so,
not that
surprising. So how did this go? Right? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, oh no, I was gonna say, it's not that surprising. And in just the, what you're saying, like if we, okay, well, first that you said you had a lot of stuff or definitely like was close. I think that what's interesting about the book is that some feedback or like, and it's not negative, is like, oh, well, of course it was easy for you because the hardest thing for you was just to give up books. But I would have a hard time with this. I'm like, everyone's is different. Like, exactly. Like the hardest part for me truly was the first few months. And I did an interview where I told someone, they asked what the hardest thing to give up was. And I said, take out coffee. And they laughed at me. And I said, no, you don't get it. Like, it's not that it's takeout coffee. It's that that is a thing I purchased every single day, basically. And so that meant every single day I had to change my habit. So, and that would look different for absolutely everybody, like what we spend our money on. But that was definitely the hardest part, was the first couple of months, because I had so many habits around coffee and also buying books that for me, it was the hardest thing to change overall. Like, I actually learned very quickly that the clothes part didn't matter to me. Like, that was really easy actually for me to give up. But then books were like insanely difficult. So,
yeah. Well, you have to come over because I get 4 to 6 books a week, like everywhere. I don't even barely to sit in my studio anymore. I mean, they're all on health though, so there's not a lot of variety, but they're still super good. You know, it's funny with the clothes thing, because I work from home, I have a home studio. I literally will wear like the same 3 outfits all week. I mean, I don't even understand why. And that's why when I went through my closet yesterday, I was like, what am I doing? I don't wear half of this stuff. But then there's a time where I think, well, if I ever had a different type of job, or if I want an additional job and I have to look like a regular person, and I should get rid of some of the athletic things and actually have a few practical things in my wardrobe. Because right now it's either like I'm going to a fancy affair or I'm going to work out. I have nothing in between.
What I love about it, though, is actually the sentence that you said about, I feel like I should have for these like what if situations, is that that is what I found a reason that I used to shop a lot. I used to buy things preemptively thinking I'm going to need this one day, but often I would never end up needing it. So like one of the best things I feel that I took from the shopping ban was that I learned how to live without something and only buy it when I actually needed it. So, because I also want to say, like, sometimes when people think about the shopping ban, it's like, oh, you weren't allowed to buy anything, that's too restrictive. And I'm like, no, that like truly was not the point of it. It was really to like, for the first time in my life, stop and think about what I was doing before doing it. Like, I had never really put something in between myself and my credit cards, or myself and, I mean, I talk about a lot of other stuff in the book, like drinking or binge eating. I never put anything in between that. There was no layer of friction to sort of prevent it. And the shopping ban was the first time where it was like, oh no, like I don't actually need this thing right now. I can buy it later if I actually need it.
Yep, exactly. And what I love in the book too, is you help us get started. So you talk about the importance, you write 3 lists. You have the essential list, the non-essential list, and then the approved shopping list. And we talked about the things earlier that you can still get and the things that you're not going to get. You know, for me, my big thing is I get a facial every month, and that's my ultimate self-care thing. It's made a huge difference in my skin. And so honestly, that's kind of it. I mean, it's expensive, but if you're not doing anything else. So what do you think about that? Like if you have one thing that's super special, and if you have a little bit of money to put aside for that versus just buying random things all the time when you're really not getting the one thing you really want.
Well, I think what I appreciate so much about you making the mention of the facial is that not only do you have like a physical benefit from it, but you actually will remember that experience. Whereas a lot of times when we buy things, it happens so quickly and then we don't even use the thing. So we don't even really remember what we've just done. So what I found is that during the shopping ban, number one, I spent a lot of money that year. I just spent it on travel for the first time. And travel was something that I had wanted to do since I was young. Like I remember graduating from high school and having ideas for trips that I wanted to go on. But then I got my first credit card. And then, although it's kind of interesting, I actually never put a lot of travel on my credit. but I did use actually my debt as sort of this excuse for why I couldn't travel. And so I think it's interesting, though, because again, going back to the idea, like a shopping ban isn't about spending no money. It's like really about figuring what you do value spending money on. I just had a conversation with a friend of mine, actually. He told me that he did a 3-month shopping ban. And he said, I actually noticed that at the end of the 3 months, I spent more than usual on travel and massages. And I said, okay, but do you remember everything about those experiences? I'm like, are you comfortable with the amount that you spent? Like, were you going into debt? And he's like, no, it wasn't going into debt. I'm like, okay, so you just exchanged the money you were probably buying or spending to buy stuff on actual experiences that you remember. If you're okay with that and it works in your budget, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, see, I like that because that's an interesting perspective. Again, shifting to things that we really make you happy. And I love the idea of experiences versus things. Like I experience a wonderful glow in my skin.
Well, and I also want to say,
that makes me smile.
I definitely want to say, like, I don't think buying stuff is bad. Obviously, I don't think spending money is bad. Every object that is out there, it does serve a purpose if we actually use it. But I think, like, that's the point of it, is that the value comes from actually using the thing, which is why it becomes more important to just buy things when you're actually going to use it.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I used to be a total garage sale, just a holic. And I would just get so much stuff, not for me, but for my daughter, because like, oh my God, this toy new would be $10 and it's a penny or dime or whatever it was. But then I just ended up with so much stuff. And she loves stuff. She's, you know, and I worry she's going to be a hoarder because I've always given her so much stuff. So I used to give things away behind her back, things that I knew she didn't really play with. But now that she's older, she the other day gave away a ton of stuff, not only old toys, but she went in her closet and filled 2 huge bags because there's a wonderful kids secondhand store here. So I'll go overboard because it's secondhand and it's, you know, a lot cheaper. But I was so proud of her. And I thought, oh, maybe I am making a difference. Maybe I've inspired her a little bit.
Oh, and what I love about that actually is that people always ask me, like, you know, how can I do this with a family or specifically with kids? I'm like, I think at the end of the day, like, we cannot force people to participate. Like, you can't force people to not shop and you can't force people to give away their belongings. But the best thing that we can do is lead by example. And then if they see that there's been some benefit to you in some way, then it at least just like triggers an idea. And it might not mean that they do it, but you're making them think because they can actually see what it's doing for you.
Now, how did you solve your coffee conundrum? Did you end up getting a coffee maker or what did you do?
Well, it's that's just the thing. It's like I already had stuff to make coffee at home. I just had all these habits that I'd had for years. So keeping in mind things like when I was 19, 20 years old, like I was a manager at Starbucks. I started working for the government and I worked in a government office for 5 years where every day at 10 o'clock, everyone basically stands up from their desk and walks to a coffee shop. And so even then, during the year of less, I was working from home for a company. So I was working remotely, but I still had that habit. I had that habit of like getting up at 10 o'clock and it was like this little treat. Like now you just go get your takeout coffee for the day. But so truly with that one, I mean, the biggest thing I had to do was just leave the coffee stuff out on the counter. You know, I see some articles that are like, oh, like, or at least in the minimalism space that everyone's like, put everything away and it looks nicer. And I hate all of that because I'm like, you need to have the things you use, especially if you're wanting to change a habit. Like you need to make it easier to change the habit. So for me, leave all that stuff out because then you have no excuse. Like you physically see it multiple times a day. So when you actually want it, it's right there within reach.
Oh, I have to play this for my husband because he's super neat and I'll put stuff out. Oh, I forget to take my vitamins. I forget to take this. And he's like, well, just put it in the cupboard. You know, that's the vitamin cupboard or that's for the medicine or whatever it is. It's like, I know, but then I don't see it. I forget about it.
Oh,
so I like your idea.
I'm totally safe. Actually, same thing with vitamins for me too. Like I have a few I take every day. If that was not on the counter, I would never take them.
Yeah. Yeah, I know with my, I love Barleen's. They have this wonderful fish oil swirl. There's a mango peach. It's delicious. And I'll remember it because I'll put it like front and center in the fridge. And if someone moves it, I'm like, who moved it? Put it back. Even though it's delicious, a day will go and I'll forget. Like last time my husband's like, do we have another one of these? And I'm like, I forgot to take it yesterday. He's like, you forgot to take it? Because I was like, I never forget to take it. Or, well, obviously it's not never, but so things like that are so important. Now, for some people though, listening, they might say, you know what? That coffee ritual is so important to me. That's something that I would keep on the list, right? But I would give up maybe the croissant or maybe something else. Because I can see if you're working from home, because I work from home and sometimes it gets lonely, even though I get to talk to fabulous people all day like you. But sometimes I want to see people in person. So I usually go to, like, there's a local store I'll go to, a town market, like maybe just once a day, just to, you know, even if I don't buy anything, just to like see people, like it's nice to get out. So have you felt like you miss that, or how do you deal with that? Like, or did you put a different ritual in? So you're still kind of giving yourself a break?
No, I would say now where I'm at, I mean, there's been a lot of transitions through the years.
Yeah.
but I would say now where I'm at is I probably get takeout coffee probably twice a week, maybe three times a week. It just depends sort of what the my days look like. But it is much more, I moved to a really small mountain town and I have this one coffee shop where I kind of know everyone who works there. And it is very much more of like I go there and treat it like a co-working space. So I go and sit for like two to four hours and I will get a coffee while I'm there. So it is a much different experience though, because it's like, this is my space. It's almost like I have coworkers because I have people I can talk to. And it's probably the best coffee in town. So it's just like a different experience. So what's different is that it's not a habit. Like it's not this, you know, decision that I'm making and I can't even figure out why I'm making it. It's like, okay, on these 2 days, I'm going to go work at the ledge and that will be part of my week. And so it's just like an intentional decision rather than a habit.
Exactly. You know, in the book, you have some great rules to get started. One of them was the right three lists. Another one is, I like this one, you tell everyone you know. I think that's really important because you talk about like if people ask you to dinner or you say, I'm trying not to go out to dinner or I'm not spending as much money. And that way they don't get insulted, right? And they understand. And I would hope people would be supportive. Did you get some pushback?
I didn't get too much pushback. I think what I found was two things. One was that I think some people were just confused by it at first. So some people thought like I couldn't spend any money. So they didn't invite me to dinner where I was like, no, I can actually go for dinner. I just am not getting takeout coffee. And they're like, okay. And so like people didn't totally get it. So there was a little bit of that. And then there were like, what I found more so was that there were conversations people were having that I just felt like I couldn't be part of anymore. And I didn't even really realize how much that would happen, but we talk about shopping, spending money and getting deals all the time. Like as soon as we find a good deal on something or we're super excited, like we tell someone. Not very often that unless we're like hiding it, like if we're in that phase of it, but usually it's like if you found a deal on something, you're telling someone. It's like this shared experience where we want to share the secret that we've figured out or something. And I didn't realize how socially normal that was until I had nothing to bring to the table.
That's so interesting. Boy, I would have nothing to bring to the table because I literally spend almost all my money on food and I was spending it on secondhand clothes, but now not so much. And then my facial. So I don't really buy a lot of stuff. You know, I still have an old phone. I don't keep up with the trend. So I think you and I are going to get along just fine. You still need to come over, Kate, and borrow my books. But, you know, what would you say was some of the hardest things in the beginning other than the coffee?
So, like I said, like changing habits, so coffee and buying books. I also realized about 3 months in and then again kind of multiple times throughout the year that I was a much more emotional spender than I realized. And it's actually taken some distance since writing the book even, but really realizing that this is just a habit or like a behavior about me that I sort of transferred. So when I was young, and I talk about this very openly in the book, I started drinking when I was quite young and quit drinking when I was 27, actually during the same 2 years that I was paying off my debt. And so I now know in most situations, if I was having an emotional reaction that I wanted to sort of numb out or just make myself feel better from, I would drink. And then it's now not that surprising to me that when I could no longer drink, I went to spending. So then in the shopping ban, I couldn't do anything. And so it was the first time where I really had to address my emotions and realize that I was much more reactionary and quick to numb myself out. And so changing that was just very eye-opening.
Yeah, you know, I can really relate when I read that because I used to have sex love addiction issues I've gotten a lot of help for. And when I couldn't do that anymore, I started shopping. Like, I got to have something. Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with all the crap inside. I need something. So retail therapy was definitely my way to go. You know, luckily I've had more help, so I'm not doing that either. But now I keep eating too much dark chocolate, you know? So, I mean, it's tough, isn't it? You know, there's this drawer in my kitchen and I walk by it and I have to be like, I don't need that dark chocolate right now. I already had 4 squares. That's your lot for the day. Sometimes I have to ask my husband to bring it to work. Like, please take the chocolate out of the house because I still, you know, we still have those weaknesses and those issues that we deal with. So, but yeah, I totally related.
Oh, yeah. And I would say, like, I still struggle with that myself. I can't even buy chocolate. Or when I do, I just tell myself, like, okay, I know I'm going to eat this entire thing because I cannot control myself. Like, I just do not have that in me. Yes. And I don't feel bad about it anymore. I think that's a big thing I had to change that year was to, like, start removing the shame from it because it's not that, like, eating the chocolate or spending the money or drinking, it's like, that doesn't make you a bad person, but it is something that I don't want to be doing. And so removing the shame was huge for me. Like, it's like I said, now just knowing if I do buy the chocolate, I just tell myself, like, okay, you're going to eat this and enjoy it. And then you just need to let it go. It also, exactly. I will say, having that mentality has helped me curb a lot of cravings or actually just consume a bit less. But it's still a work in progress. I mean, typically I just don't buy the chocolate, but I'm exactly the same. It's also, I'm the same with things like watching television. Like, I cannot just usually sit and watch one episode. I do not know what that means.
Oh no, I love to binge. I love television. All I wanted to do yesterday, because it was rainy and crappy and snowy. I'm so sick of us not having spring where I am. I watched Jane the Virgin and then I watched 2 Roseannes that I'd missed. And then my daughter wanted to watch Flash. And my husband's like, he'll only watch like an hour of TV at night. And he's like, are you still watching TV? I'm like, you know what? It's Sunday. It's snowing. Yes, I'm still watching TV. Oh, it is so funny. You know, Kate, you have to come back because the time goes by way too fast. I'm such a fan of your book. And I mentioned that my friend borrowed it. Otherwise, I would have gone into much more depth. But I'm going to have you back. But I love that you take us month through month, each chapter, starting in July, going all the way through the following June. All right, Kate, tell us all the places we can find you on social media.
Oh, well, good question. I'm not taking a break from social media, but I've really figured out that there's only one platform I actually enjoy anymore. And that seems to be Instagram. Cool. So I would just say I'm on Instagram at Kate Flanders.
All right. I'm going to have to get back on because I've only been on Twitter lately. Speaking of that, you can check me out on Twitter at healthmediagal1, the number one. Also check out the show at Talk Healthy, the number 2 day. Definitely get this book. I absolutely love it. The Year of Less. Kate Flanders. I want to thank everyone for listening and stay well.